You know, finding reliable and affordable website hosting and getting your domain names registered can be harder than baking some lavash bread and not burning your hands or having it all fall apart. It's terrible when that happens. That's why I use inclusivehost.com to host Rob as a website.com and post show recaps. The guys at Inclusive Host do a great job of keeping my website up and running, and it's very affordable with a great deal for the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. To find out more about the web hosting plans that are right for you, go to inclusivehost.com/RHAP or click on the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. That's inclusivehost.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here is a man who is to oil changes as Sherry is to oil changes, Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cisternino, and we are back after an amazing hiatus, Jessica Lease.
Yeah, you know, I almost forgot that this show was even on.
You almost forgot that you podcast about The Amazing Race.
It really kind of slipped my mind.
Well, Jess, it did not slip my mind. I was counting the days, waiting to get back to talk about The Amazing Race, and we've got a lot to talk about. Oil changes, flatbread, you name it. We got it to talk about here tonight, Jess.
That's a lot of stuff, Rob. Yes. That's two whole things.
Rugs, flatbread, oh, yeah, oil changes. This sounds like my errands list.
Yeah. is vacuuming on your errands?
Vacuuming,
list?
Yes. This was the list of things I had to do today. Thankfully, The Amazing Race fit it all into 1 hour. I don't know how I could have. So we are back to talk about all of that. We're going to take your comments and questions as well. Hashtag RHAP on Twitter, and then also on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, not elimination leg. And so the hiatus of The Amazing Race exit interview podcast continues yet again. And so no exit interview coming up on Monday. All right, Jess, first off, how you been? How you doing? Good?
I've been really good, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's been a restful couple of weeks,
but that ends tonight because we have a lot to get into here tonight on a night where it looked like Sherry and Cole were going to be potentially the last team to arrive. Did they fake you out tonight? It is April Fool's Day, Jess.
I was kind of feeling non-elimination.
Yes.
It really, the whole leg, there was kind of this lack of urgency.
Yeah.
And, you know, they front loaded it with a really good prize for the first leg's for the first place team. Mm-hmm. And that to me says, you know, they're trying to front load the excitements so that we don't quite notice that there's no suspense on the back end.
Yeah. So Jess, what was the biggest tip off to you? It was going to be non-elimination. And was it, I did feel like the timing of the where the last commercial was, I felt like was kind of late. Does that do anything for you?
Yeah, that's a pretty strong indicator. And there's also the fact that we had a lot of after the fact confessionals from all of the teams, and Sherry and Cole are the kind of team that wear their hearts on their sleeves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can kind of tell with some teams while they're narrating everything, you can tell if they are telling the story of how there was nothing they could do and it was completely futile and now they are out of the race. But you didn't get that tone from them, and of any team, you would have gotten that tone.
It seemed like it was going to be a strong night for them. At one point, they peaked at second place. It looked like that they were right there with the Frisbee Bros in terms of the oil change, but then ultimately, Sherry just could not do it. It was a case of the lefty loosey versus righty tighty.
It's an important rule to learn.
Yes.
I didn't think that was even a rule you needed to have in the Amazing Race rule book, but apparently that's another thing you need to learn. Like, that's well under swim and drive a stick shift and all that stuff, but it's in there.
You would think that at some point you would just try it the other way, just in case. Oh, like, you know, let me see if it works this way.
Well, you know, maybe the Soviets did a bunch of stuff backwards just to spite the Americans.
Yeah, but I feel like that after trying it one way for, you know, how long? 30 minutes, an hour? I think I would just, out of curiosity, try it the other way.
Yeah, yeah, I think I would as well. But it's also, it was probably screwed on there pretty tight. She probably did try it both ways, and it didn't give either time. So she just kind of picked a direction and stuck with it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into all of this. And I think that the really important thing for me in terms of how this episode went down, and again, not an elimination, but so I thought it was sort of like an interesting triangle here strategically for Tyler and Corey, because there was only like two ramps, right? You only have two people working on the cars at once. Is that correct, as I understand it?
That's what they said.
And Sherry was clogging up one. And so you had where Scott and Blair, he was working on the other car. And so Tyler felt like, okay, my only move here is to help Scott and then make sure that he gets done fast enough so that I can also get up there and that I can get ahead of Sherry and Cole. But then you had Scott, this guy, who does he think he is? Then he went ahead and then helped Sherry after that.
Yeah, well, that's even better, though, because, you know, during the time that Scott is helping Sherry, Scott and Blair are not moving. Cole and Sherry are not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an extra ramp right there for you to get your roadblock done.
Right. But this was the whole plan for, you know, that, you know, Tyler was good enough to help Scott. Like, that should have been under the understanding. Yeah, I'm helping you so you don't go and help Sherry.
Yeah, that. Probably was.
Is that on Tyler to say, hey, I'm only going to help you if you don't, or is that going to make him seem really schemy if he says that to Scott?
I don't know if schemy is the answer, but I think it is kind of petty. It's like, you can help whoever you want. I'm going to help you because I think it's going to help me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily think that anything Scott's going to tell Sherry is going to get her out of there in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So what's the move then? Did Tyler get that correct, or should he have helped Sherry?
I think he got it correct. I think Scott was probably closer to being finished at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you want to get to the point where you control your fate as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So get the guy out of there, and who cares what he does after that? You're handling your own business at that point.
But how pissed if this was an elimination leg and we came on tonight and Tyler and Corey got eliminated because Scott had to stop and help Sherry?
That would be quite a fiasco.
Yes. Yes.
But on the other hand, they're on your team and they're the main reason you're kicking my butt.
We narrowly averted a disaster here tonight.
Yeah. I would have been sad to see them go. I love them.
Yeah. Jess, so we had this leg here in Armenia, which was some interesting things here, starting with the express pass for this leg of the amazing race here on leg number 6. The express pass must be used by leg 9. What do you think about the placement of an express pass here that has to be used in the next 3 legs?
You know, it's a little bit later than we've seen express passes in the past, which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of guarantees you're going to get a quick turnaround on that express pass.
Right.
Like, you don't have, you know, by the end of leg 6, you know, you've got 3 legs to use it. And I think they're trying to keep people from holding on to it and hoarding it and like using it as like bait for other people. You can just kind of, it's like, what do you have to lose? Just dump it on the very next thing you do.
Yeah. We've talked about this a lot with Survivor, like this idea of sort of like a shot clock immunity idol where you can't, like, you know, find it on day 3 and keep it until, you know, the final 5 tribal councils. So I think this always is probably interesting reality TV to have somebody find an advantage and they have to use it in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that idea should go to Samoa.
Yeah, send that to Samoa. So a big night for Brody and Kurt, who end up with another first place finish and finding the express pass. And we'll see what they are able to do with it here in these next 3 weeks. All right, so let's talk about this leg of the race, because it really started off with you had all of the teams on the same flight. And then so they were all together going to Armenia. Then once they ran out of the airport and they got to the first place, and it was the theater, which opened up at 8 a.m. So really, you know, the first 2 things that had to happen on this episode, there was no chance for anybody to get ahead of anybody.
Yeah, but the very next thing they had to do was something that was a little bit skill based, and it really separated the pack out a lot more than I think maybe even the race designers anticipated.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool.
Go find the clue. And it turns out that the vacuum guy had the clue. How did so many teams get the clue and from the vacuum guy and the other teams didn't see that they got it?
I guess it's a big place and they're all kind of looking at different things.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think that as soon as somebody asks a guy, as soon as that happens once, you would think everybody would see it.
Right. Like, I kind of feel like I would be keeping at least one eye on the other teams when you see somebody like run out of there, unless like they were like really coy about they got the clue and then went back to look for a little bit and then left. But that didn't seem like that was the case. It seemed like that pretty much all the teams that got it were kind of like obvious about opening it right there.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, I personally, if I got that clue, I'd like go about, you know, five or six rows back and go into the middle of the row and pretend I pulled it out from under a seat. But yeah. I mean, think about this, Rob. When does the Amazing Race ever have a venue at the same time that the janitorial staff is doing something?
Mm-hmm.
Like if they're renting the space, they have the space, they've hired dancers. They're not going to say, oh yeah, you can have the space, but we need to send our guy into vacuum.
Right.
Like, you had to think something was hinky with that, right?
Right. It's rare that you see Phil end up like, this is the Great Armenian Theater. And it's like the janitor like walks by with a broom. Excuse me, yeah. Coming through. This is, you know, 2:00. Got to clean the theater.
Yeah. That you got to think that they're not... You know, you're paying, you probably have to also pay for extra time to have the theater cleaned after you're done with it. They're not going to do that all at the same time.
Right. You know, you got people there recording sound and you got this guy running a vacuum in there in the theater where the Amazing Race is shooting. That does seem a little wonky. You're right. Good point there.
Yeah. Like, excuse me. You can't film here. I got to get under you.
Keep your legs up real quick. All right. So, yeah, most of the teams ended up getting through that with varying degrees of difficulty. It was really Tyler and Corey and Scott and Blair that had the most trouble with it. But once I believe it was Corey who found it, then Scott and Blair saw it immediately and then everybody was out of there.
Yeah.
Head to the Cascade to go and go up the stairs. Jess, how big of a deal is the Cascade in Armenia? Have you been there?
I've never been to Armenia.
Yes. Bucket list.
It looks like a great place. And the interesting thing is, I don't know if you are a follower of Conan O'Brien, but he actually did a special a few months ago where he took his whole crew to Armenia and filmed a really amazing special that was actually miles more exciting than this episode of The Amazing Race.
Impossible.
And I was thinking the whole time I was watching that
episode, how many cars did they change the oil on?
They didn't change any oil.
Okay,
well, then they have a guy to do that for them.
Yeah.
But the whole time I was watching that, you know, I was thinking this would be a cool place to have an Amazing Race leg because there's so much interesting culture here that's so different from everything else we've seen.
How many party buses did they go on?
You know, I think every bus with Conan on it is a party bus.
Okay, so all the teams had to start to head to the top of the Cascade and climb up over 500 stairs.
Yep, that's a lot of stairs.
Yes, and the stairs were very difficult. Again, all around, this was a tough leg for Sherry, especially going up and down these stairs.
There's a lot of bouncing on the boobs.
Yeah, too much bouncing on the boobs for Sherry.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to point out, there's only about 300 stairs in the Eiffel Tower, so they basically climbed like 1.5 Eiffel Towers.
Yeah, that's a good unit of measurement.
It's one that's a little bit more of a touchstone because I think more people have been there than Armenia.
Yeah. Why did Conan take everybody to Armenia of all places?
Because his assistant comes from an Armenian family.
Yes.
And she had mentioned that, you know, she'd always wanted to get in touch with her roots and, you know, her family was very, very culturally Armenian. And so he thought that sounds kind of cool. And he's been doing a lot of these travel things lately. Like he went to Cuba for a few days and so he packed everybody up and then brought his assistant around to all these places. And she, you know, it's very moving in places.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to check. Is it on YouTube?
I think parts of it are probably on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll be on the lookout for that. So, all right. So we had the detour here, thread or bread? First off, flatbread is very delicious.
I
just want to say that.
Yeah, I could eat that all day.
Yeah. So, boy, we had the teams who had to ultimately work on making the lavash or the rugs. Which team, in a vacuum and not the one that has the clues, which task did you think was going to be tougher?
I honestly thought the rugs were going to be tougher, and I was really surprised that almost everybody picked the rugs.
Yeah. Well, I think that the lavash turned out to be harder, right? Like, it seemed like that the rugs was more time-consuming, but it seems like it would be hard. Nobody screwed up the rugs.
Well, here's my reasoning on why I thought the bread would be easier. It has to do with the number of breads they were required to make.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they said, you know, you have to make this giant expansive rug or make 5 breads, I would be thinking that is probably hard to master.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have to make 15 means there's a learning curve. If you figure it out quickly, you can just knock them out.
Yeah. So, interesting. You know what I was really surprised about? That the lady who worked at the lavash store was eating. Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised that she was eating that much. You would think you would get sick of it that you worked there.
You know, sometimes that's the case. And sometimes it comes back around. Like, you've been around it for a while. You get really used to it. You get sick of it. And then one day you're like, it's coming back around again.
She didn't seem like she was sick of it.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
She was the coolest.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a long time since we've had a really awesome local at a task.
Yeah. I wonder, though, maybe if she was sick of it and then, like, the producer's just like, come on, let's get some shots of you eating some of this. Come on.
Yeah. And as soon as the camera looked away, she spit it out. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Like, never, never again will I eat any of this lavash. It's terrible. So, we really only saw a couple of teams working on that. Where it was Rooster Teeth and then also the Frisbee Bros working on all of that lavash. Everybody else was working on the rug making. Jess, I saw a lot of people saying on Twitter also, basically nothing really eventful happened at either of the tasks in my mind. Did you have anything from those tasks?
Not really. They both looked like they were kind of time consuming and, you know, one of them was a little more dangerous. And probably a little more uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seemed like nobody had so much trouble that they were sobbing that they couldn't do it.
Yeah. We did find out that Tyler made a lot of friendship bracelets in college.
And I'm thinking, like, Tyler is so young. I thought friendship bracelets were a 90s thing. And he was, like, born in the 90s, right?
I guess so.
I know the 90s are coming back around, so
I'll tell you what, Jess, this might tell you that I'm pretty sure nobody has ever made me a friendship bracelet. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, well, you could always make them yourself.
I guess so. And give them to myself also?
Yeah, you know, like, learn how to make them and then put them all on yourself. Make sure they all look different enough. They look like different
people
made them.
Put them all on myself.
Totally.
How many?
I had a friend that did that once.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
four
I didn't.
Or five, and then it's like, look how many people took the time to make me a friendship bracelet.
All right. So, so the teams had to head down to bus number 13, lucky number bus 13. And there was some question of that if it says take the bus, are we allowed to take a taxi? And I saw some people tweeting about, like, hey, whoa, this is going to be a penalty here. Teams are taking a taxi when it says take the bus, but they took the taxi to the bus. In your mind, did you think we were getting set up for anybody to get penalized on this leg?
I don't think so. I think that was pretty hilarious, you know, shown out of context like that. Like, I think Blair especially was the person that said, if it says take a bus, can we take a taxi? I think what she meant was, can we take a taxi to where the bus is?
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the answer to that was yes, because everybody did it.
Yeah.
So I think, as funny as it is to ponder, like, oh, but it says apples, can I have an orange? That's not what they meant.
Yeah. Just going back to the lavash making, what did you think of the hashtag breaking bread?
That's kind of lame.
Yeah.
Unless somebody sat down and was like, let's cook.
Yeah. I mean, was it so? Did you feel like it was were they going for a Breaking Bad pun, or was it like when you break bread to talk to somebody?
I don't know. I don't think that one was especially well thought out. And I think they were just like, well, what do we know about bread? And, you know, what can we slip in there? And then they called up Mark Solera and they're like, what do we do, guy?
Yeah. Maybe it was a tie-in for the new Aaron Paul show on Hulu, The Path.
Well, you know, The Amazing Race is full of paths. They don't have to force it that hard.
Yeah, which we covered on Most Shows Recap this week. Look for that tomorrow,
that.
Most Shows Recap. All right. So, yeah, all the teams were on the bus number 13. Did you feel like that it seemed odd that all of the buses were party buses? What was it about bus number 13?
You know, it's the lucky bus.
That's the lucky bus?
I would love to see the casting call for that, by the way. Like, Armenian locals needed to throw a party on a bus.
Right. You know, everybody, like, all of the women that we saw in this episode, they all had, like, a very similar look, all the Armenian women that we saw.
They did. I mean, I think there are, you know, there are widespread trends among Armenian fashion.
Yeah. Did you feel like all those people that we saw, like, on the bus and stuff like that, are those plants from The Amazing Race, or those are actually the people that were, you know, riding the number 13 bus?
Those are the same locals that they have to recruit at every single location to, like, sit there and point at people when they do dumb things.
Yeah. All right.
Like, so this is one of those traditions. It's like inflatable bulls in Madrid. This is not really a tradition. This is just
no
a thing that the show made up.
Party bus number 13. That's not like a huge, you know, fad in Armenia.
Not to my knowledge. No. Admittedly, I've never been to Armenia. And if this were a thing, I would totally do it. But it really seems like something The Amazing Race was just like, well, what could we do? These buses are really cool looking. Maybe we can put some locals on them and have them be a party.
All right, Jess. Well, let's talk about, speaking of tasks. So we end up getting to a point where it's like, okay, so we have this like cool hillside mountain where we're going to do oil changes. Now, is this a thing? Is this where you go to get your oil changed in Armenia?
I don't know. I guess some people must because they didn't build that for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was more a chance of, like, they had to think about the history of the country and, like, culturally, what is there around that's not everywhere else. And what they came up with was these Lada cars. And I know that you are not a long-time Amazing Race viewer, but I think people that watch, especially in the single-digit seasons, can attest to the fact that back in the day, whenever you went to Eastern Europe, you would frequently be tasked with something involving one of these jankety Soviet-era cars. And the Lada being one of the most famous ones, and Armenia being a former Soviet republic, yeah, it's lousy with Ladas. And so it's like, these are a very distinctive-looking car. They're very janky. Let's have people do something to the cars, but we're not having people drive anymore, so what can we do?
Mm-hmm. Oil change.
I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, they found this garage, and these guys are like, sure, you can do our labor for us for a couple of hours.
Yeah, you can change the oil in all these different taxis. It does seem like a suboptimal place to do an oil change, no?
Yeah, if your car is not running well and you need an oil change, you're not going to drive it out to the middle of nowhere. But this really looks more like a place where you'd murder somebody.
Right. Now, Jess, this is what I'm curious to know. Have you ever changed the oil on a car?
I have. I was taught how to change the oil in a car when I was 11 years old.
Yeah, because I thought that you might take exception to when Sherry said this.
That's why you don't let blondes change your oil?
Yeah.
Oh, Sherry and I have been back and forth on that already.
Yeah, you tweeted to her about that?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah, we tweeted about that. I said, you know, there's a study recently that said that blondes actually are smarter than everybody else. And so she agreed.
Yes.
She's underestimating herself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you put her in her place on that one.
I sure did. You know, you gotta take pride in your blonde identity.
Yes.
There's a lot of bouncing on the boobs.
Yes. So not a... Yeah, Sherry did not set the blonde movement forward tonight.
You know, I'm not gonna... I got no comment on the boob comment.
Okay. All right. We had all the different teams going through this, and again, I did think that who was helping who was interesting to me. Now, I know you're not allowed to help your partner, but if you're not even actively working on the task, if you're waiting to do the task, you're allowed to go and help the other teams that are currently working on the task, Jess?
I think as long as you have proclaimed yourself to be the one doing the roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Tyler could not have gone over there and helped, but, you know, Corey already decided he's doing it, so he is already locked into the roadblock. And at that point, he can be assumed to be doing the roadblock, even if he's passively waiting to do the roadblock.
Okay. And you can help anybody. You can help anybody you want. And you can, even if you're like blocking, like when Scott was going to help Sherry, did he already move his car out of the way so Tyler could start working?
Yeah, I think he had to do that.
Okay. So he could then just sort of like wait for, do you think there was any strategy on his part? I know that he said, well, we can't leave Sherry going, but if you are Scott and Blair, isn't it better for you if Tyler and Corey get eliminated and you keep Sherry and Cole in the race?
Yeah, it absolutely is. That's so, probably one of the reasons he was helping.
Do you think that was strategic or do you think that it was just, oh, Scott's a nice guy?
I think that was Scott being a nice guy. Like he even said, how can you not help Sherry?
Yeah. Wow. If you want to help out Tyler and Corey.
Yeah, I guess. But Tyler and Corey can take care of themselves.
Yeah. Well, they ended up pulling through. And for Tyler and Corey, they really survive a scare. Do you think, is this an important thing for an Amazing Race team to have a leg like this where you narrowly either have your non-elimination leg or where you end up coming in next to last after you've been at the front of the pack most of the time?
You need to know what you're made of, and you need to know that when you run into something really terrible like that, it's not going to totally destroy you, and that you can bounce back from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's definitely important for a really strong team to spend some time at the back of the pack and understand what that's like. I think it makes you a better racer.
Yeah, I kind of think this way with the NFL, where it's like, you know, these teams that they have like such an easy regular season that I kind of feel like that you need to hit a bump in the road. You need to face adversity and have like a bad loss and come back from it before you can really, you know, have the determination to make it all the way.
Yeah, exactly. Like you need to experience a setback because otherwise you won't appreciate it when you win.
Yeah.
It's the reason that Mets fans treasure their World Series victories and Yankees fans are just laughing at them.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened.
Well, let's talk through the teams this week and then let's just, say a few words about each of the teams coming through this. Okay. So we haven't talked too much about the Frisbee Bros, where we ended up with Brody and Kurt. And Kurt did not help Sherry. He was like, he was the opposite of Scott. He was like, I wish I could help, but I'm sorry. This is not the leg where I could be messing around with this.
Yeah, I mean, well, they were far out in front. I mean, do you want to really be known as the guys that lost an express pass because they stopped to help Sherry and Cole?
I mean, could they have helped with that one thing?
No, because they would have lost the express pass.
Okay.
I don't think it would have been... I think it was too close at that point. They needed to get out, and they had a sure thing.
We had Phil really prying into the love life of Brody to start off the leg this week.
I think Phil is bored.
Maybe he thought we forgot after the 2 weeks of the hiatus.
Maybe he did, or maybe he's just like, maybe he misses the blind date teams.
Yeah, they're going to go back to that.
Yeah, he was still like, he never stopped hoping that Blair and Haley would hook up.
Yes, Jeff and Jackie, he was hoping for somebody. Okay, we had Rooster Teeth, strong bounce back week for Rooster Teeth. They've never really had a disastrous week, but they were back in full force, making Lavash, Bernie changing that oil like it was nothing. So very resurgent week for Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been a good team, but now they're kind of starting to figure it out and they're starting to emerge as contenders.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, other than struggling a little bit with getting the Lavash started, really not too much going on with them this week.
Not too much. No. Okay. They just kind of, you know, they got in there. They got it done.
Okay. Zach and Rachel out of nowhere. Third place this week, Jess. I believe that might be the best placement for them throughout the season.
That is the best place for them throughout the season. And I'm not sure exactly how it happened because they are not necessarily the quickest team on the uptake.
Yeah. They seem like they're always lost. They seem like they never know where they're going. They always seem like they're confused. But yeah, apparently Zach is very fast at changing the oil in a car.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe he did that thing that he does on all his videos.
Magic. Like
maybe he just snapped his fingers and the oil was changed.
Yeah, that was pretty good. He had a little bit of a struggle with getting the oil out of the car. It was sort of like ricocheting off like the stack of tires. But he did okay. All right, Dana and Matt, also a quiet week for Dana and Matt, too.
Yeah, I think maybe Dana and Matt didn't have any major conflict, so we didn't see them because they weren't yelling at each other.
Yeah. All right.
Dana was not yelling at Matt. I don't think I've actually seen Matt yell.
Yeah. All right. Then Scott and Blair, they are in fifth place after this week, where Scott ended up being the Good Samaritan. Well, how are you feeling about Scott and Blair?
Well, Scott and Blair are nothing if not self-aware. Like, they know what they're good at and what they're not good at. And the thing that impressed me about them this week was that they looked at the tasks and they knew exactly how they were going to approach them, who was going to do what, because they know who's going to be good at something and who's going to be terrible at something. And I think that's as important as being good at everything,
mm-hmm.
is knowing when to step back and say, okay, daddy, you got to do this, because if I changed that oil, we would be here longer than Cherry and Cole.
Yeah.
And you know, they had a good week. I think, like, they are, I don't think they're contenders, but I was really impressed with how they handled everything this week.
Yeah, Blair said she didn't know where the gas cap was on her car.
Yeah, which, you know, that says if there's a car task, don't do the car task.
Maybe that was just apocryphal, Jess.
She could occasionally be exaggerating for comic effect.
Maybe.
I know that people are known to do that.
Okay, then Tyler, Corey, we talked about how they had their toughest week yet. Do you feel like that this was just a matter of that really it was the vacuuming? That was really finding the clue with the vacuum. Because it seemed like
one of those things.
It just seemed like that they got through the rug task pretty quick, and then they just sort of got blocked up by there only being two ramps.
Yeah, I think that was part of it, but it was a lot of it was just they had that one snag, and that's all it takes on the show. You have one thing that you're not doing right that everybody else gets just that much quicker, and it can knock you to the back of the pack.
Yeah. And then finally, okay, Sherry and Cole, where we had so much Sherry and Cole this week, and it really, I thought it was going to be a good week for them, because they were talking about they had their mindset on the Express Pass. What if they got the Express Pass? The episode started with a flashback to Sherry and Cole last week about how that Cole was so scared up in the Alps, and then that it was Sherry who got him through it, and I felt like it was almost like, this is either, you know, this is like the beginning of the Sherry and Cole our dominant edit, or this is going to be a bad night for Sherry and Cole.
And it was kind of both.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you never want to get the flashback, I feel like, in the start of a leg of the Amazing Race.
You know, lots of people have gotten the flashback and gone on to do okay.
Okay. Yeah. I did think for Cole it was going to be a
bummer.
That was so weird.
Like, yeah.
It was like, it felt like maybe the camera guy had asked him to do that three or four times. And this was like take five of him looking at the camera and saying, bummer.
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 Sorry, Cole. I need you to do that again. But, you know, maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit more enunciation. And I need you to look straight ahead this time.
Bummer.
Oh, that was almost perfect. I think we need to do it one more time. It's going to be cool. All right, he's ready this time? Okay, let's do it.
Bummer.
Yeah, he had nothing to do over there. I mean, basically, yeah.
you know,
Sherry is like working on the oil change for a couple of hours, and, you know, he's just working on sound bites.
Yeah, I guess, what else are you going
to
do, right?
So where does Sherry and Cole go from here? And first off, Jess, do they have to do a speed bump this next week?
I do not believe so, because I think what Phil said, usually Phil says this is a non-elimination leg and you'll have to do a speed bump on the next leg. And this leg, Phil said, you are still in this. Keep on racing. Here's your next clue.
Yeah, but you
that's
know,
a different thing.
That's kind of bollocks, though, because I feel like that in the past, Jess, haven't we always seen with these other teams, like when it's the keep racing, don't we see that starting from the first place team? Where it's like,
not always.
So every other team found out that they were still racing. We didn't see any of it for the first
right.
six teams. We only see it for, that doesn't seem right to me.
That it's happened both ways.
It's
definitely happened both ways.
I don't
ways.
Know. Okay. Playing fast and loose with us here on the Amazing.
It really depends, I think, on how you want to edit it. Like if there is a team that is so far behind, they think they're out the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you want to put the tension on the first team. So the first team to check in, you say, you're not done, keep on racing. And then you have that for the whole rest of the week. You can think, oh, when that last place team rolls up, they're going to be so excited.
Yeah.
But if it's a really close finish, you want to show that close finish and you want to have that be the last moment that you're left with. So that's when you would reveal that information to the last place team.
All right, Jess, anything else about the episode before we jump into some questions?
Let's jump into some questions.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from one of our viewers who is not thrilled tonight, Jess. This is from Obstreperous Tenaged, who says, after coming back from a 2-week hiatus, this episode didn't deliver, in my opinion. There was barely any suspense, and most of the tasks were pretty vanilla. The only funny thing was the breaking bread challenge. I thought that the woman helping the racers out was pretty funny. Also, the oil changing task was the only dramatic bit with Sherry crying, but I mean, it's an oil changing task. How is that exciting? I wanted to see specific tasks to the country of Armenia, not a random oil change. That's not really so much a question here.
Yeah, that was
more of a gripe. You
know, we call those quiments.
What is that?
It's a, you think it's a question, but it's really a comment.
It's really a comment. Really not happy about this. Okay. All right. This is from Adam555. It looked like the most of the teams traveled back down the cascade to read their detour clue. Was it a missed chance to spring a count the steps challenge just for the reaction of knowing they'd have to climb it again? What, like April Fools?
They've done that before, though.
Yeah.
Like, they've done it a few times.
Okay. Marissa G also says, overall, Armenia didn't deliver like I expected. The tasks were boring to watch. Sadly, the only part that saved the episode was Sherry melting down at the roadblock, and that's not something I would feel proud to say. Hoping for a better episode in Georgia country, this season is not ranking well on my chart. How's it ranking on your chart?
I don't know. It's too soon to tell. We got to see how the winners shake out, and we got to see how much more of this I have an entrepreneurial spirit because I make a lot of money on the internet. If there's a lot more of that, it's going to rank lower.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see ultimately how it goes. I mean, I think it's tough on these non-elimination episodes.
Yeah. And, you know, we actually got a comment on Twitter. I was tweeted at a little bit earlier tonight. Jeremiah Panhorst tweeted at us, are you annoyed like me that the show returns with the non-elimination leg? And I got to say, not half as annoyed as I would have been if last time had been the non-elimination leg and we'd had to wait 3 weeks to find out what happened.
Right. So you sort of want to, at least if you come back with this, that's not as bad as going into the hiatus with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, don't judge an Amazing Race season after a non-elimination leg. That's never the right move. Right, Jess?
Right.
Okay. Wait till the end. All right. Let's take some more questions from you guys here tonight. All right, so really, people are really upset about this. So we come back from a 2-week hiatus and it's not elimination. Are they just trolling us at this point?
Hey, I don't know. I think they're really coasting on this idea that there's going to be, it's like, oh, well, everybody's going to watch all of the internet people. They don't really care what happens on the show. You know, yeah. It's like they did all the research for this leg by looking up Armenia on Wikipedia.
Yes. This is an interesting question. Yeah. What are they, like Andrew Savage?
Yeah. The Survivor Wiki.
Yeah. All right. So this is an interesting question from Patrick Dorson, who says, Tyler says that the sixth place finish helps them seem weaker. Is this true, or will they always be front runners in the eyes of others? How important is it to be perceived as weak on The Amazing Race, Jess?
I don't think it's as important as people think it is. I think there are like several key moments where you just don't want to be the person that gets U-turned.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a heavy strategic show, and we've seen that over and over. Like, all the things that are good Amazing Race strategy don't have much to do with how you relate to the other teams. Like, don't piss them off. Don't put a target on yourself. Certainly don't win every leg and rub it in people's faces like certain teams we've seen last season. But, you know, you can't deliberately paint yourself as weak in hopes that people will want to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be who you are. If you get too caught up in like trying to craft a persona, I think here as in everywhere, that's going to backfire on you.
Right. And I don't think any of the other teams are forgetting about where Tyler and Corey stand. I don't think that it's like, I think if they're going to U-turn them, they were going to U-turn them all along. It's not like they forgot like, oh, okay, I guess they suck now. Let's not put a U-turn on them.
Right.
All right. Okay. How about Dave Backer wants to know, Jess, thoughts on the renewal of The Amazing Race? How about that?
You know, every season, every other season, because they always renew it in pairs. Like every other season, I'm thinking maybe this is the last one. Maybe that's finally given up the ghost, but it keeps hanging in.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled for it. It you know, good for them.
Ooh, yowzer.
Yeah. How about that? All right. Then we also had Jason A. What was the question to decide who was doing the roadblock?
Oh, the question to decide who was doing the roadblock is, I think it was, who's feeling drained?
Yeah. So why did they cut that?
I don't think they did cut it. I think he missed it.
Okay, good. All right. And then just a couple of other quick questions. Again, not a million questions after the non-elimination. This is also from Patrick Dorsey wants to know, can Brody and Kurt use the express pass strategically to get other teams on their side? They already have a target on their back. Is there anything that they could be doing strategically with the express pass, or is that overthinking it?
I don't think you can give other people the one express pass. I think you just got to use the express pass when you're in trouble. That's it. And or use it when it looks like something's tough and you think you might get a break, like Team Texas did last season. They thought, we're going to get first place on this leg. We're going to pull ahead. Let's just use it on this one thing. And they ended up being really wrong about that. But in most cases, that would work.
Okay. All right, Jess. Anything else about tonight's Amazing Race episode?
No, I really have nothing, except if you really want to see Armenia in a more interesting light and rather than something you could go down to your local garage and watch people do, you should really check out Conan's special. Because
are you being paid to talk about this?
No, I'm totally not being paid. Okay. I'm just a fan.
This is not a paid endorsement of the Conan O'Brien Goes to Armenia special.
Absolutely not. But it's worth your while. In fact, I don't care if you track it down illegally and watch it, or if you watch a copy that you don't watch any of the sponsors.
Okay.
I really don't care. But you guys would like it if you were interested in Armenia as a place where things happen other than, you know, changing oil in cars.
Yes. All right. So, Jess, what is the hashtag tonight?
Oh, we have to think of the hashtag.
Yes.
Do you have contenders?
I do not. I do not have a contender at this point. Let's see what the chat room has to say. Right now, it's Conan Goes to Armenia. That's the hashtag number
I'm
one contender.
I'm pretty sure that was already used.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that was.
Yeah. Or hashtag.
Bummer.
So let's see. We'll see what else we have. Of course, you can follow Jess on Twitter. They got hashtag party bus. Scott in the chat room wants to say hashtag lubed up.
Ooh,
you don't take it easy with that.
Rob, that's like several steps to the left of things you've told me I can't use for hashtag.
Look, I didn't say that Rob says use hashtag lubed up.
Yeah. Well, we got hashtag Conan party bus.
Conan party bus. All right. Also, we got a couple more coming in. Of course, you could follow Jess on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. I am at Rob Sisternino. Hashtag Lefty Lucy.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Or Righty Tidy.
Yeah. Actually, you know, pick your favorite and tweet your favorite.
All right.
Team Righty Tidy, Team Lefty Lucy.
There you go. All right. So, Jess, we will be back 1 week from tonight to talk about episode number 7 of The Amazing Race. And we're over the halfway point, right? We're over the hump here?
Yeah, we're over the hump.
Okay. All right. So we'll do the back half of The Amazing Race over these next couple of weeks as we talk about which of these 7 teams will go on to win The Amazing Race. And we've got much more coming up between Jess and myself here on the podcast. Of course, we had all of our Survivor podcasts. Pete and Abby Maria joined me on the Survivor podcast yesterday in person. Jess, did you hear any of that?
I did. I'm about halfway through it.
Yes. That was very, very fun. Probably the most fun part of that, though, was when Abby Maria ran into Larry King at podcast 1.
I'm sorry that you didn't catch that on film.
Yeah, we should have filmed that. That was...
Yeah, you really should have.
A very memorable encounter. And then, of course, voicemails with the great creator of MetsBlog.com, Matt Cerrone. Also on robinswebsite.com. Earlier tonight, I spoke with Big Brother great Johnny Mack about the week in Big Brother Canada.
Did he yell the entire time?
To answer that question, I would just simply say
no.
No, he did not. He was very low key. And so all of that, plus Jess and Josh Wigler talked The Walking Dead book club on post show recaps, right?
We sure did.
Okay.
If you guys read the comics and you watch the show, if you don't do both of those things, don't listen. But if you do both of those things, you'll like it.
Yeah. And if you just watch the TV show, be sure to join Josh Wigler and myself this Sunday night at 10:45 p.m. Eastern time as we recap what should be a very exciting Walking Dead season 6 finale. So a big weekend coming up. Plus, we got our SNL recap is back this weekend as Tyrion Lannister, Peter Dinklage, hosts SNL this weekend. So a lot coming up here on the podcast. All right. Jess, thank you so much. Looking forward to reading your comments on robinswebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Bye.